Today's share in the Dear Shur Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Yud Omud Beis. We're in the third volume of Mishnah Berurah. We are in Simen Shin Ches, and we are in the top line with Sif Mem Aleph. And the Mechaber tells us, Ha'isha midada es bina afil b'shusarabim. Yesterday we talked about, are you allowed to move an animal? Today we're going to talk about young children or sick children or people that can't walk on their own. Here we're talking about a child that can walk on its own, so the mother is allowed to assist the child in walking, even in Rosh Hashanah. Yesterday we said you shouldn't do this for an animal in Rosh Hashanah because of the concern you may come to pick it up. Here we're not concerned that you'll pick up the child. What's the difference between an animal and a child? Here you have to be careful that you don't drag the child, because then you'd be picking him up and carrying him, essentially, according as we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, according to Rashi. What you can do to assist the child in this fashion is to lift one leg up with the child. The other leg is planted still on the ground. Then you put the other leg down, and then you put your weight on that leg and you pick up the other leg. So you're basically assisting the child, lifting up one leg, putting it down, lifting up the other leg, putting it down. And this way, you're never actually carrying the child in the Rosh Hashanah, but you're only lifting up its leg. One leg is always planted on the ground. Now, what exactly is going on over here? So the Mishnah Berurah explains in Siv Kut and Kuf Nun Gimel, Daha afilu tagbihenu petura. We allow you to do this even in the Rosh Hashanah, because worst case scenario is you actually do pick up the child. It wouldn't be an issur deraisa, because we paskin for a human as opposed to an animal, the chai nosei es atzmo. The child has the ability to carry itself, so to say. We'll see two explanations in Dirshu footnote number 155 why this is so. So we have this rule, chai nosei es atzmo, a living creature, so to say, carries itself, and therefore it's not an issur deraisa if you carry it. But last was el issur derabbanan. It is, however, an issur derabbanan to carry such a child, but have exeril. So it's only an issur derabbanan over here to carry such a child. And therefore, if you do this over here, it's a gzera midrabanan, about a derabbanan, and therefore the rabbis didn't institute such a gzera. So therefore, you are allowed to assist this child in the shusarab. Vimnose kofos. However, if the child is bound, or a person would to be bound, ocholo, or they're sick and they can't carry themselves, then chayit, then this would be a real issur daraisa. Debezel oshayach shenosei es atzmo. Here we don't apply the rule that chay nosei es atzmo, because it's tied up or bound, the person, or that nebuch, the person, cannot move on his own because of sickness. However, hanosei meis, as opposed to if you carry a dead person, rachmana l'slan, that's a different discussion. Heavy melacha shein atzrich lagufa, you don't really want to carry the dead person, you just don't want the dead person where he is. So that's called a melacha shein atzrich lagufa. You have no real benefit directly from carrying that dead body, you just don't want it in that place, and therefore the halacha there is different, and we learned this already, ayin and simen reish, ayin ches, for these halachos. Now, the issue footnote number 155 brings down two reasons for the understanding over here of chai nosei es atzmo. The first one is based upon Rashi from the Gemara in Shabbos, daf tzadi gimel omid beis. The sod of the heter, the foundation over here of the heter, is as follows. Shebishah shenosim odim bari. When you're carrying a healthy person, who make al esatzmo, he so to say makes himself light. We call this not dead weight. A person who's dead is called dead weight. A live person, it's easier to carry. And kaviyachol nosei es atzmo, when we view this to a certain extent that he's carrying himself, his weight is less, so to say, than a dead person or a sick person that can't assist you. That's Rashi's opinion of chai nosei es atzmo. However, the Baal Hamor disagrees. He says that's not the reason. And his reasoning is explained by Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal in the Igros Moshe. She yisod haheta, the understanding, the fundamental reason over here why it's this concept of chai nosei es atzmo was applicable, mishum shachai yochol lagia lamokum ze af below she yisau, because he could get there on his own. You're just facilitating and making it a little bit faster to get from place A to place B. But since he could get there on his own, so therefore it's called chai nosei es atzmo, even when you go and carry him. And Ramosha finds his asal adds further, and he says there's a huge number of nafkaminas over here between Psak of Rashi and the understanding of the Baal Amar in terms of chaynosi as atzmo. So, for example, if you have a person that Nebuch is walking on stumps, he doesn't have the ability to lift himself up. So, according to Rashi, that's something he can't do. He can't lift himself up. According to the Baal Amar, however, he would be able to get there. He's walking on stumps. He's going to get there a little bit more slowly, but he would be able to eventually get there. So, therefore, it is allowed. Another nafkamina would be if somebody is sick only in his feet and not in the rest of his body. So he can't really assist you, so to say, in pulling himself up, so we don't have Rashi's heter over here. According to the Baal Amar, he would be able to eventually get there by some other mechanism. And therefore, it would be permissible. So the Maisa halacha is brought down by Rav Moshe with Machmir for both of these reasons. And if either of them is applicable, in other words, you can't use that as the heter, chai no si esatzmo, we go luchumra. If a person is sleeping, so the Piskei Tshuva brings down, he's not sure what the halacha is in that situation, do we view him as bound, and therefore he can't assist, and therefore it's not chai no si esatzmo, we're not. However, if a person's just dozing off a little bit, is just having a, you know, a little bit of a schluff over here, then we do say that's not considered like bound, and we do say chai no si esatzmo for a person that's just dozing a little bit. Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Kufin Dalit said, however, the mother has to be careful not to grab the child. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, because that's based upon Rashi, but Nation will say so, can't cause the Rashi, because then if you're dragging the child, so you're essentially carrying him, and it's not allowed. So the Mashma, from here, you see, the Sfirule, the heavy commotion also, it's as if you're actually carrying the child when you drag him in this fashion. And in Dishu footnote number 156, the Chazon Ish explains further that we're not talking here about the mother dragging the child while the feet are really still just touching the ground. Because of course that's called carrying, just because the feet are touching the ground. But here we're talking about where the feet are somewhat planted still on the ground, and the Ikar Din, one would have said that that's not kenoso. However, the Chachamim will go over here not to allow that as well. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah continues. Im kein afilu b'karmelus, also here, it's not allowed even in the karmelus, which itself is only an issa d'rabbanon, because it's really like you're carrying the child in this situation. V'yeshem akilim is there, however, others will make up. Avaliso solak sefer, but he points out a very important din, that to put the child on your shoulders and say chay no se esatzmo, that's absolutely not allowed, even in a karmelus. Gam b'karmelus also l'kuli alma. Everybody would say that's not allowed. And unfortunately, the Mishnah Berurah says, V'yeshem yamon sh'nir shalom is there. Many people mistakenly think that this is okay when they carry their children, sh'nosim k'tanim ha'kisveim, if they're carrying their child in a place that doesn't have an Erev on their shoulders, even if it's only an issa d'rabbanon over there, v'ta'usan, and they're making a mistake, whom ibn shakot and yochel elech biatzmo. So they think, since the child can go on his own, and I'm chai no siyasatzmo, carrying it on his shoulder, on my shoulders is okay. Ushkagi, this is a totally incorrect approach. The issid rabbonin yesh v'chol ofen afil b'karmelis. This is definitely an issid rabbonin, even in a karmelis. When we call makom tov limnoa me lo malehem, but don't tell him. Why? Shibavadi lo yishmulado, because unfortunately they're not going to listen to us, and it's much better remove the shiu shogin v'yal yum yizidin. It's better that they perform this transgression without willfully doing so. Let them think that it's okay, because if you tell them it's not okay, they're still going to do it anyway. When do we apply this rule? So the issue footnotes number 157 and 158 talk about this. The issue footnote number 157 brings, ukishiye sofek shema yishmo, if we're not sure, will he or will he not listen to me? So the psak over there in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tov Reish Ches is shetzorech limchos bem. You do have to warn them and tell them you're not allowed to do this, in the chance that they will listen to you, even though you're not sure. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal and Igros Moshe, adds, Shiyesh lo farsim isuze. One should publicly give shiurim about this. One should let people know that you're not allowed to do this. Tisha footnote number 158 brings down, based upon the Ramah in Tofra Reish Ches, where the Dover She'eno Mefurish Betorah, when something is not explicitly stated in the Torah, we can say Mutiv Shiyu Shogim. Then we apply this rule, since it's not specifically stated in the Torah, they don't know about it, so therefore it's better that they transgress their sin if they're not going to listen to us unwillfully rather than telling them, and now they're transgressing it willfully. Even though it's an issa d'oraisa, but if it's not explicitly stated, they don't know it. And the Mishnah Berurah adds over there, shebedavar she'eino mefurish b'Torah yesh litlo sheshogim heim umutoyim. Because if it's not explicitly written in the Torah, one can assume that they don't know it, and therefore they're transgressing unwillfully, unknowingly. And if you tell them, then they will transgress it willfully. I heard from Rav Shechter Shlita that he said that nowadays it's even different. Even if stuff is explicitly written in the Torah, unfortunately, sometimes they know so little that they won't even know that that's an issa d'oraisa explicitly stated in the Torah, and therefore the din might be different nowadays. In any event, the Mishnah Berurah continues, he writes, V'katun she'enu yochel leilich bi'atzmo klal, a child that cannot walk on its own, an infant. Chayiv l'rov ha'poskim kishinesol b'rishos harabim. If you were to carry such an infant that can't crawl even on its own, so then you would be over according to most poskim. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down in the Shaar HaTzion, Os kuf chav dalet, a whole list of poskim that hold like this. But you would be allowed to ask a non-Jewish person to go and carry the baby for you. Because we don't have a real Rishus HaRabim, so therefore it would only be, at worst, Amir Liakum for a Din D'Rabbanan, and therefore one could be Makel in this situation, as brought down by the Prima Gadim. The issue footnote number 159 brings down, we are going to learn in Simon Shin Lamed Aleph that you're not allowed to bring a child to a different place to have a bris milah done on the child. Obviously, the child's 8 days old and can't walk, so we don't allow that over there. And the reasoning is because you can go and mal the child in the house that he's in. So why bring him to another house? And the Shona Halachos, Rav Menashe Klein Zatzal, the Yungva Rebbe writes, sheesh la ayin madua hitra mishtabur kan lotzio ayidei nachwi b'chol ofen. And why here we are so quick to allow this via nachwi, whereas we don't allow it over there by a bris mila, he's left with a tzarech in. The footnote continues and brings down from Rav Azaz that's out in the Shevet Halevi, and he writes that most of the time when you're taking a young child out, the child still needs its mother, that in and of itself is called a tzorech gadol. That's why you're allowed to tell a non-Jewish person to take the child through the Carmelis. Because this is only a derabbanan on a derabbanan. I'm really akum on a din derabbanan, and therefore it's permitted for a pressing need. And he adds, shagam even if you're taking the child out, just to stam a walk. It's not such a great pressing need. Nevertheless, afal pishiyesh lodun imutu lo licho ba'agola ayde nachri, nikol mokum yesh mokum lamitzchus ala mekil mazeh. Even though there may be an argument to say that you shouldn't have the guy go and wheel the child in a stroller, nevertheless, there is room to be makel over here, even if the katan is sleeping. Mishnah Berurah continues and he writes, Hamotzi tinok v'kis toli b'tzavar u'chayev. If you're carrying a child, so you may not be chayev in iso derais over here for carrying the child, but it has a pocketbook or something, a kiss, a wallet, hanging around the child's neck. So avsha tinok yochol lelech b'yatzo. Even though the tinok is a chaynosi etzatzmo, deimbo iso derais, and there is no iso derais over here, the chaynosi etzatzmo, as we've said, mikol mokum chayev mishum kiss, but you're chayev for carrying the wallet over here, the kiss, the purse. The kiss ain't no bottle legabe, because the pocketbook over here is not bottle to the child. Shoe ain't sarklo, because the child has no need for this pocketbook, and it's an aharama over here, and therefore you're carrying this kiss, and therefore you're chayev. But if you were to be carrying an adult, and the adult's wearing a jacket, he's wearing his clothing, so you're not chayev for carrying the clothing. In that situation, you're potter. It's not an issa deraisa, because we do say chayno si esatzmo. The begodim telo, because the clothing are tofel, the subordinate to the person. For love ain't no chayev, and you're not chayev for the carrying the person on a deraisa level, do no si esatzmo, because he could walk on his own. The less be'ela isur derabbanan, and this is only an issa derabbanan, as we've already spoken out, and this is brought down in the Rambam, as brought by the Mogen Avraham. Sif Mem Beis. Something that's muktzah, you're not allowed to move it, but you're allowed to touch it. However, you have to be careful. But you can't move it, even part of it. And the Ramah writes, b'siv gimel. This was already learned in Siv Gimel. The Mishnah Berurah in Siv Katan Kuf Nun Hei says, Ayin Leal b'Mishnah Berurah, Siv Katan Yudzayin, where these halachas are discussed. I am not sure why the Mechaber brought this din down again, as it was discussed previously. And the same thing applies to Siv Mem Gimel, where the same exact thing happens. Where the Mechaber writes in Siv Mem Gimel, Mutal Taltel Muktza Aydin Aficha. You're allowed to move a Muktza item by blowing on it. And the Ramah adds over here, Ukvar Nisbar Reish Simon Zed. This was already explained in the beginning of this simon as well. Again, I do not understand or know why the Mechaber brings Mem Beis and Mem Gimel over here when they were already discussed previously. In any event, Sif Mem Dalet, the Mechaber writes, Kli Shinisro Eya. If you have a utensil that is wobbly, it's broken, but not fully broken. It's just in a weakened state. Lo Yitlu Mimenu Cheres L'chasos Bo O Lismoch Bo. You're not allowed to remove a piece of this, let's say, earthenware container that's already cracked, but it's not broken, so you can't remove a piece of the earthenware over here and use it to cover up something or to support something. The Mishnah Berurah explains as if cotton Kuf Nun Vav, wrote Salomar, the Mishnah Berurah is saying this is what the Mechaber means over here. Shalo Yitlo Shemenu, you're not allowed to pull out a piece of this earthenware utensil. The B'maisa Tlisha, by your act of removing it, Hu B'chlal Tikun Kli. You're, so to say, creating a new Kli. And therefore, Ukamoshi Esbar B'simen Shemenu, as we'll learn later on, Shekol Dover Shemesakim B'Shabbos, if you create or fix something on Shabbos, La'ezo Tashmish, for something that it couldn't be used beforehand, Yesh Bo Mishum Tikun Kli. That's called Tikun Kli. And therefore, by removing this earthenware piece, the shard of this pot over here, you are creating a kli, and that's not allowed. And the same din applies, he says, if the cheretz has already fallen and broken, and you're going to take one of the shards of pottery, but you have to fix this shard of pottery, it's sharp, it has projections from it, and what you do is you take this shard of pottery, you go and remove the projections or the parts that you could hurt yourself, cut yourself on, so you can now use the shard of pottery to cover up a container or to use it in some way or anything like this, that would be forbidden, the osur. Because this is included in the din of fixing utensil, making it into a utensil by putting on the last blows, so to say. As Rashi explains. But to take a piece of the pottery that is broken from the ground, that you don't have to be misaking, and use it and to use it as a cover for a utensil, or in other purposes where you don't have to do any takana to it, it's not a sharp shard that's going to hurt you, or there are projections on it, and you don't have to do anything to it, vadei shari, as we've already explained, that would be permissible. Kimavur le'el sif vav. Next halacha is a critical halacha. Sif mem hei. The Mechaber writes, Osur lischok b'shabbos v'yontov b'kadur. You're not allowed to play with a ball on Shabbos or on Yontif. The Mishnah Berurah explains the sif katan kufan zayin. This is true. Bein im he shel niyar o shel eitz. This is true whether it's a paper ball or it's a wooden ball. Shein shem kli olav machmas sheroy lischok bo. It doesn't have the status of being a utensil, even though it's being specifically made over here to be played with. The heavy ke'even shu muktzah migufo. The Mechaber has a very strong position over here. He says that this ball is muktzah like a rock. Tafilu betiltu bi'alma osu l'deyazu. According to this very strict opinion of the Mechaber, it is not allowed to even be moved for any purpose. Now, in Dirshu footnote number 161, he brings down from the Shevet Alevi, Rav Ozer Zatzal, that nowadays all balls are different. They're not considered muktzah, even to those that follow this machmir position of the Mechaber, Aflu b'nei Svarad, mipnei shem miyutzarim l'shem mischak. Because balls today, a rubber ball, a pensy pinky, was when I was growing up, so these balls were made specifically to play with, obviously, and they're not used for any other purpose other than to play with. And this is also the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal and Rav Yashiv Zatzal. However, the Shelus Teshuvas Or L'Tzion Zatzal, the great Sfaradi Posek, he brings down that your machmir, like the Mechaber over here, v'lo hitir l'taltur kadur l'sachibro el l'kotan. A young child, you're not required to stop him. Sh'roshay ha'kotan l'smuch hadas ramah. The kotan, even for a Sfaradi, is allowed to rely upon the ramah, but an adult Sfaradi should not. And this is also the opinion of Nissan Karl Shlita. And he adds that this is mashma from the Mishnah Berurah over here, because according to the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to be metaltur l'kadur, even though it was a wood or paper kadur, as the Mishnah Berurah said, those are made specifically for the purposes of playing ball. However, Rav Nissan Karl Shlita says that nowadays, even according to the Bnei Sfarad, who follow the machmir opinion of the Mechaber, they would also have a heter over here. Shekador hayo nechshav kimuktza rak b'pnei shoyim luchloch. Their days, the balls were considered muktza because they were dirty, and they wouldn't be able to be used to cover up something. And therefore, our balls today, nikiyamim, they're much cleaner. V'roi l'chassus b'em kelim. They could be used to cover up a bottle or something like that. However, he adds, im ein mishtamshim b'kadurim l'kisui kelim klal. But nowadays, if we don't really use a ball for this fashion, he's not sure that this heter applies. Now we go to the Ramah. He's much more lenient than the Mechaber, and he writes, Hagah, v'yesh matirim, there are those that allow you to say that a ball is not muktzah, v'nagu l'hokil, and the minhag is to be mekel, like the Ramah over here, and one can see this in Tosos in the first perek of Beitzah. Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Kuf Nun Ches writes, Efshar Shataima, maybe the reasoning is, Shekevin Shosu Likach, Miyucha Lezeh, Bitzmidus, Lo Shaykh Boshe Muktzah. Since a ball is a ball made for a ball purposes, so it doesn't have the shame of Muktzah according to Ramah. Ukilel Basil Chav Beis. But you certainly can't play ball in Rosh Hashanah. Vafil B'Karmelis B'Shabbos, or even in an area where you're not allowed to carry only Midirabbanan, like a Karmelis. The Bekal Hu Sheipol Luchutz Mi'arba Amos, because it's easily going to go more than Dalet Amos. Vasil Asu, you're going to carry it more than Dalet Amos. Abo B'Yontiv Mutter, but in a Yontiv where you're allowed to carry, it is permissible. Afil B'Rosh Hashanah Lischok Bo L'Dei Azu, according to this opinion. However, this is all if you're kozeh kishesolchei kishelo agabi karka. This is only if you're playing not on the dirt surface. Avol agabi karka, on a dirt surface, l'kuliyama osu mishum chashas ashvuyi gumos. You have to be concerned that you're going to fill in holes and you're going to be over the issur of ashvuyi gumos. As we learn, ukilet kamen b'simin shinlam l'ches linin schichase gozim. Likewise, when they used to play with walnuts. However, mikol mokom in limchos b'noshim miktanim. But you don't have to protest against women or young children that are playing these games because they are not going to understand and they may not listen to you, and mutav shiushogim v'ayu mezidim, and they again may not listen to you, and therefore it's better that they commit this transgression without doing it willfully than to do it willfully. There's much to be said about ball playing on Shabbos. Let's look in Dirshu footnote number 163. And he brings down the name of the Marshal, the Dover Temahu. Shari aim bezet tzorach hayom klal. How are you allowed to play ball on Yontif? There's no purpose for it. He says, let the little children play. That's what they do. They play. But for a gedolim minog rahu, it's a terrible custom for an adult to play ball even on Yontif. And he brings down the Mishnah Berurah over there. Shigam belize ein din zerak muskum l'chol adeos. This din is not agreed to by everybody, because the Shulchan Aruch certainly doesn't agree to it and says it's also a dover, so you shouldn't rely upon the makel opinion of the Ramah when you don't have to. is also the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. And he writes, even though the minog is like the Ramah, he brings down the famous Yerushalmi from Tainis. They were destroyed, that city, because they played ball while Shabbos. This also brought down the Medrash Echa, and this also brought down Shelos Tshuva Salmas Chayim. She'ein roi linog b'zehet. One should not play ball on Shabbos or Yom Tif. With this, we conclude today's shir.